This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
Joe Biden's got an enthusiasm problem. That was evident last night in the Pennsylvania primary. There's a question of how do we build up trust with police and black Americans? And also, what is going to happen now that the Frank Rizzo statue is finally gone, toppled like Saddam Hussein? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Zeoli Show on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. 855-839-1210 is our number. Thanks for being here with us this morning. We appreciate it very, very much. We'll take your calls and get your thoughts on things throughout the morning as well. So interestingly enough, Dawn, you were just saying that some people had suggested that they moved the Rizzo statue last night at, like, what was it, 2 a.m. or something,
yeah,
deep in the night?
It's in the middle of the night. And yet some news crews, you know, just happened to be, like, tipped off.
Happened to be tipped off that the statue was literally being hoisted by a crane, right?
Yeah.
And being moved across. Those images are everywhere on television this morning.
Everywhere. And that is no coincidence. None.
Now, they've been talking about moving the statue of former mayor and former police commissioner Frank Rizzo for quite some time now.
Years,
right. And Jim Kenney has made it a point to do so. He said he was going to do it. They were having a commission where they were going to put it. And then all then this happens, and then there was graffiti, and people were trying to deface the statue. Yesterday, they had the National Guard protecting the statue, and now the statue is gone. Now, do we know the whereabouts of the Frank Rizzo statue?
It is supposed to go to some museum, a local museum, so it's not going to be destroyed or anything. The family has spoken out about this, but it'll be put into a museum.
Put into a museum?
Yes.
A museum of fallen statues museum? Is that like they're going to have?
Yes. Yeah,
like broken toys, broken statues?
Exactly.
Broken monuments?
It won't be like, you know, the statue of Thor that is still at the bottom of the Schuylkill. They're not going to, like, dump it, you know, in the Schuylkill River.
The statue of Thor. First, we should get that out of the Schuylkill, right?
Yes.
Poor Thor deserves better than that.
I want to have a movement, since I'm half Norwegian. I want to have a movement, you know, to remove the Thor statue from the Schuylkill River.
You're basically the goddess of thunder. You should.
She's the real female Thor that's coming out.
There you go. That's it. We got it right here.
Oh, boy.
And then we could put Thor and Rizzo together.
Yes. Yes, it'd be awesome.
He's really, I mean, Frank Rizzo has so much in common with Thor. Really, the two of them next to each other would be amazing to see.
Yes.
All right, so yesterday there was so Kenny, the mayor of Philadelphia yesterday, and the police commissioner, Daniel Outlaw, spent the whole day trying to defend the decision to tear gas and, I guess, hit the protesters on 676 Divine with rubber bullets, too.
Yes.
This was a huge thing. There were pictures of it everywhere. People crawling up the side of the Vine, like trying to climb up. People trapped all over social media. This is the kind of thing that should have really been picked up by the national media, I would argue, right?
Yes. And a lot of Philadelphia, I mean, I've heard so many people, and I know we all have, going, wow, total Rizzo move. They just, boom, you know, they just dispersed them. So I think that was another reason Kenny
they wanted that. They wanted that highway clear. They got that highway cleared. And
I
mean, everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, people showing clips of it, pictures of it, people saying they were peaceful protesters. Why did they get this order to do this? Why did this happen? And when I woke up and saw it yesterday and I saw the images of the people getting tear gassed, I thought to myself, okay, well, is this a moment where Kenny's going to come out and say, I had nothing to do with it, and the police commissioner is going to say, it wasn't me? Nope. They owned it. In fact, they owned it big time.
Yep.
Here's Jim Kenney from yesterday, the mayor of Philadelphia. Cut number five.
I hate this entire thing. I wish none of this ever started. And we're stuck with the issue with every day something happens that we may not be prepared for. And if you see some of the tactics, you have a main group of protesters doing a legitimate protesting, and then you have a group that breaks off so us particular can follow them, diminishing the number of police that are available. So you have to, it's a flowing situation that people react to based on what's happening at the time. Yes, I did. Yeah.
In the end,
it was a last resort. And the other issue is, how do you clear people off the highway? I mean, do you use force, physical force? Do you wade in with batons? No, that's not good either.
Yeah. So that's Kenny right there. Yes, I signed off on it. So it's on him. So what happened yesterday, the day before, is completely on him, and he's owning it. And he's going, yeah, it's me. I gave the call. Now, and they were peaceful protesters, right? I mean, for the most part, they were peaceful protesters. For the most part, right? It's interesting because I'm seeing, obviously, Donald Trump is president and Kenny is not. Thank God he's the mayor. But there's a lot of coverage over what happened at Lafayette Square Park. This story, though, of Philadelphia, despite other cities and their stories of how they've interacted with peaceful protesters, has not gone national, which is amazing to me. Because I think it's the perfect thing for the national media. I mean, the images of the people trying to climb the side of the highway to get away from the tear gas and people literally, you know, being tear gassed like right in their face. And yes. I mean, the images are right there, right?
Yes.
They're right there for it.
100%. But it's, you know, two different narratives, which is really interesting.
Now, I'll get to the Lafayette Park thing in a second. But let me just say, though, that I would call Kenny to task on this if I were in the media. Like, they just go, did you give the order? Yeah, he's like, yeah, I give the order. They're like, all right, that's cool. So then, but people yesterday were not having it. They were putting together, in fact, my friend Barb sent me a little video that somebody put together of just a compilation of people crying and trying to get up the side of the Vine Street Expressway and people, like, you know, being like tear gassed, trapped like animals. So people spent all day yesterday on social media putting those things together and putting it out there on all the platforms. And at the top of the video that she sent me, it says, this is Jim Kenney's call. This was Jim Kenney's call. And you just heard in the video, the mayor say, yep, I gave the call to do that, right?
But can I point something out?
Yeah.
You're also seeing a stark difference between local news coverage philosophy versus the White House press corps and national news. Big difference. So local reporters tend to think, look, we're going to report on it. We're going to ask the questions and let you decide. And then social media goes off and they give their opinions. National media, and particularly the White House press corps, very biased, very agenda driven. I think I can fairly say that there's a narrative that they follow.
Right. So to Kenny, then they what they should have done then with Kenny was they should have asked some more questions. So all day yesterday, they're putting this stuff out there on social media and they're putting it out there and they're laying the blame right at his feet. And he's taking it. It's on me. I did this. I'm the tough guy here. I did this. And then all of a sudden, magically, the Frank Rizzo statue is moved. Magically. Yep. So today, everybody's talking about the Frank Rizzo statue and not what happened with the tear gassing of the peaceful protesters on the Vine Expressway.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm never one to believe that politicians ever operate that way, where they ever would do things like that to turn around and distract people.
But if you were advising him, you would have told him to do that.
Oh, I would have.
Right?
I would have.
100%.
I would have absolutely told him to do that. Why not? It's a great way to talk about something else, right?
Yep.
Because the people that are mad are Kenny voters, obviously, right? I mean, I would think the people that are mostly that were marching are probably Democrat voters. I would imagine the people that mostly are in those videos are probably Democrats, right?
Yeah,
for the most part.
But I will say too, they're white people. The crowd was majority white.
Right.
And so I do feel that there was not a racial component to it. If that crowd had been all African-American people, I'm just saying, I don't think they would have done that.
So Kenny winds up getting a lot of very woke people very upset. They're all over social media. They're very upset with him. These are his voters, theoretically. They're Democrats. They're very upset because they were marching and they felt like they were peaceful and they got all this. And then magically the statue is removed. Interesting. Well, Politics is all about timing and coincidences, no doubt about that. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's funny how things work in life, is it not? Let's see. Edward is in Northeast Philly. Edward, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener to your show. I love your show. Dawn, you're fabulous. You guys are great. Thank you for all that you do for us in Philadelphia. I'm just very sad, and I'm sad for Philadelphia today because I'm choked up because Frank Rizzo was a great man. I knew him personally. I donated money to that statue. I would love to know where it's going. I think we definitely have a right. His son didn't even know when he was on the other morning with Dom where they were taking it. I think they were very, very cowardly for taking it down in the middle of the night the way they did it.
Of course they were cowardly. Absolutely. Yep. It's a cowardly thing to do in the middle of the night to do it like that.
It really is a sad day for Philadelphia. God bless Philadelphia.
Well, I'm grateful you called. So you knew Rizzo personally.
I knew him well, and he helped a lot of people, including myself. I may not be where I am in life today without Mayor Rizzo. That's a God's honest truth. And I'm going to tell you a quick short story. When all was said and done and he helped me, I said, Mayor, on a phone call, there was no media, no one around. I said, what could I possibly do to ever repay you? And my mom was a single mom, and he said, just take care of your mom, Eddie. Rich, that's a true story. There was no media there. He was a great man and a great Philadelphian, and he's missed very much.
Edward, thanks for the call. Eddie, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. 855-839-1210. Dan is in Allentown. Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you?
Very well. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing good, but I'm perplexed, and I'm hoping you can answer a question for me. I sometimes think you're the smartest guy in the room.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Well, and I do mean that sincerely from my heart. But here's my question for you, Rich. Yeah. I heard you talking earlier about them using the tear gas to disperse the people from the parkway.
Right.
Now, this is my question and my dilemma. Obviously, every time people do these protests, you hear that it's their First Amendment right to protest. But what I want to know is when people are blocking a highway and you can't go where you need to go, or you're going to work, or they block a mall, or they do this, or they do that. In other words, I think that's my First Amendment right. Why is it that theirs supersedes your rights? In other words, I have no problems with people having protests, but they should be protesting where they're not taking away and interfering with the rights of other citizens who are also part of the Constitution.
Well, you know, the argument is you can't have protesters in the woods or the park because no one will hear them. So they have to be in a public space so people can hear the protest. But at the same time, you can't have them shut down major highways unless you plan for it because there's emergency vehicles you have to get through. You've got to get people through. You can't just shut it down a highway. It causes lots and lots of problems, right? So, I mean, it's one thing if you do it in advance, you get a permit, you're going to do that, and they shut things down, they redirect, they have plans. But if it's spontaneous like that, it becomes a public safety issue.
Yes.
Right.
And like I say, you know, as I'm listening to all this stuff going on, I just hear about the rights they have.
But think about it from the perspective of Jim Kenney, right? Yesterday, somebody pointed this out to me on Twitter that, and Rosetto pointed this out to me. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, right? AOC, the leader of the new progressive band of Merry Fools, right? Would you agree that she's kind of the leader of the new generation? The new school.
Absolutely.
So she posts on her social media yesterday, Philly police tear gassing protesters trapped against a fence. Appalling, right? And she posts a video of that on social media. And this was going on all on social media yesterday. And then Kenny is the one going, yeah, it was me. Like, I did this. And then people are outraged, but he wants to get this story away as quickly as possible. So he moves the Rizzo statue in the middle of the night. You think there's any truth to that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes, you know, I'll just put it to you this way, and I hope you'll appreciate this. I always look at the Constitution as being, you know, law for dummies, and that if we just all followed the Constitution, everything would be so much easier. But everybody has to interpret it and do things, and we always end up in a mess, you know. So for whatever that's worth, Rich, I thank you for taking my call.
No, listen, it's a great call. It's a great point you make. Thank you. The Constitution is the rule book. I always say that. Just go to the rule book. What does the rule book say? If you go to the rule book, you're fine in life. Things can work out if we just follow the rule book. It's Constitution. It should not be that hard.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
And by the way, the big story of the day today, as I've been discussing with you, is the fact that Joe Biden had a lackluster performance yesterday in the Pennsylvania Democrat primary. I opened the show with it today, and I'll give you some more numbers on that before the end of the show. But the bottom line is this. Bernie got about 150,000 votes yesterday. Trump got about 750,000 votes. Biden got about 550,000 votes. Point is, even if you add up Bernie and you add up Biden's voters, Trump is doing very, very well with Republican voters. He's not lost them. And this is still going to be a very close election in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden's not running away with this thing. It's still going to be very close. It's still going to turn on turnout. And unlike 2016, where a lot of Republicans hated Hillary Clinton, but did not want to vote for Donald Trump, and they voted for Gary Johnson to send a vote, those Republicans seem to have come home because Trump got 95% of the Republican vote yesterday in the primary in Pennsylvania. So whatever Republican holdouts that there were have seemed to come home to the president now, and that's going to carry him well in November. Joe Biden's problem is that it seems like you've got a Democrat party that is still not united around him. And a lot of those people are Bernie people. And yes, Bernie told his people, vote for me so I have some delegate sway at the convention. But at the same time, I think it's the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world and others who would like to send a big message to the establishment that we're not going to play along with you. And do you think AOC would do better? Ask yourself this question. Would Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for herself personally, would her political career be better with Trump in the White House or Biden in the White House? Ask yourself that question. And therein lies everything you need to know about what I mean when I say young progressives may not be turning out to the polls in mass like you think because of what you hear in the media. For AOC, with Biden in the White House, it's boring, right? You got a Democrat president. She doesn't get the spotlight. She can't really go against him that much. She's just another member of Congress. With Trump in the White House, she gets to be on TV all the time. This monster, this racist, this blah, 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 blah. She's on TV all the time. And there's 2024, which will be here before you know it. And then the DNC can learn the lesson. If you don't play nice with us, the new progressive band of merry fools, thieves, well, then you're not going to win. I'm just saying. So Joe Biden needs somebody on the ticket that's going to wow people. He needs somebody that's going to unite Democrats. He needs somebody that's going to bring all the Democrats home for him. And he's got to meet the challenge of he's got to get better numbers with the black vote than Hillary did in 2016. That's number one. And number two, he's got to also find a way to get those Democrats that are the socialists to come on board with them. But at the same time, he doesn't want to turn away moderate voters who would be terrified at, say, America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, joining the ticket. That's in a real tough spot here, you know. You put Kamala Harris on the ticket, what does that get you? I mean, you've already got California. I mean, she's African-American, she's a woman, but she's got a terrible record as a prosecutor. Really bad with things like drug crimes and prosecutorial abuse at a time when we're talking about prosecutorial abuse, for example. So you put Stacey Abrams on the ticket, what does that get you? I mean, she couldn't even win the state of Georgia. I don't think really she inspires people. I don't think she really gets people all that jazzed up. So you could put the chief from Orlando on the ticket, Val Demings. But if there's anything that happened under her tenure, I mean, anything involving something with the police and an unarmed person, a black person, or something like anything like that, then that's probably going to be the end of her, because it was the end of Amy Klobuchar when it was found out that she had a chance to put away this dirty cop who killed this poor man, George Floyd, and she didn't, right? And so she's off the I mean, there's no chance now Amy Klobuchar is going to be on the ticket. That's done. That's over. That's no chance of that. But Biden needs somebody with that sizzle factor. And he also has to quell people's fears about the fact that he's 80 and, you know, he may not, you know, you never know, right? So he's got to handle that too. All of these things have to be factored out for Joe Biden. And when I saw that article yesterday, that story that was written by that person saying, this is the time we need you, Michelle. We need you, Michelle Obama. This is your moment. You have to answer the call. Am I predicting she joins the ticket? I am not, because you cannot predict things like this. I'm just saying that when I saw that yesterday in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, this letter, a democracy in crisis needs Michelle Obama. I'm just saying that if I saw more of that over the next days and weeks to come? Would I be surprised? No, I would not be surprised. Would I be surprised if a reluctant Michelle Obama comes out at the Democrat convention and says, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, but I have to do this for my country because this is the moment. I have no choice. Would I be surprised? No, I would not be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I can't predict something like that. That's beyond anybody's pay grade to predict. But I just found it curious yesterday as I was going through the news, and there's this piece, Democracy in Crisis Needs Michelle Obama, StarTribune.com, urging, pleading for her to, this is your moment, we need you now, and only you can ensure that this ticket wins. I mean, they argue that Biden's going to win either way, but only you can help with ensuring that Trump is crushed and Trumpism is crushed, like James Carville says it needs to be, crushed and wiped off the earth in a massive landslide. If their goal, by the way, is to crush Trumpism, that's not happening. They might win the White House, but they're not crushing Trump. These races are going to be close. I'm telling you right now, the way things are looking, you look at these numbers from Pennsylvania, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've never been one of those Trump landslide people, because landslides don't happen. They're very rare. And I am way too cautious in politics. I always say the only two ways to run in life are scared or unopposed. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a big, big fight. But it's still going to be super close. In Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, these places are going to be Ohio, very, very close. And if the goal of Democrats, according to James Carville, is to crush Trumpism, every remnant of it, everything like that, Biden's not your guy. You're not doing it with Biden. You're lucky to win if it's Biden. I mean, you're lucky to win if it's Biden. I'm telling you right now, you're lucky if you can get all the Democrats together. If you can unite all of them and get all the Bernie people to suck it up and vote for him, you're lucky if you can convince them that. But I don't know if you can. This is not a slam dunk. That's obvious from these results yesterday in Pennsylvania. With 80% of the polls in, 95% of the Republicans voted for Donald Trump, 750,000 votes for him. Biden gets about 550,000. We'll say 600,000. Bernie gets 150,000. So even if all the Democrats vote for Joe Biden, this race still comes down to undecided voters. There are not that many left. So these are the things that Joe Biden's got away. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm making no predictions. I'm just simply pointing out to you what I'm hearing. Would I be surprised? No, nothing surprises me in the world. Tony is in Port Richmond. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. A couple of points of contention I have with the news today. Last night I read that the tear gas, they're not using tear gas. It's smoke.
Where? What are you talking about? Where?
At the one down in Washington.
Oh, I haven't talked about that yet. Lafayette Park, but I will discuss that at some point.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm wondering if they're still using, if they used tear gas yesterday, because these people are throwing it back. If it was really tear gas, first off, the police would be a gas mask. They wouldn't be just walking around like that. Nobody does that. They would be coughing and whatever. Also, the fact that they call them protesters. I mean, is an army in bivouac just protesting? I mean, these people have been very destructive. They're trying to take
over the
highway.
Well, I think that there's a difference between looters and protesters, right?
Well, there's a riot, too, but...
Yeah, there's a difference between rioters and protesters. There's a difference.
Yes, there is. There is a big difference. You have a couple of groups there. You have the protesters, which, you know, everybody is for. Then you have those people that are the bad actors that are looking to riot and then later on to, loot.
Yeah.
And then you have people that are there just to watch and, you know, kind of go with the flow. But you just, you know, lump them all as protesters.
Look, nobody, Tony, and thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. Nobody has a right to protest. I mean, sorry, to loot, to pillage, to vandalize. Nobody has a right to do these things. And if peaceful protesters are marching in the streets and then rioting and looting starts, the peaceful protesters wind up getting lumped in with them because they're all together and then the police have to come in and do crowd control. You see, my point is that the only people that can control that from happening are the rioters and looters. Because the minute that they start that, the minute that that all starts is the minute that chaos ensues, because you have to now then contain it. That's why a lot of the protesters are angry that you have these rioters and looters that are coming in. And like, I mean, like, this was awful yesterday. This is so terrible. Retired St. Louis City police captain was shot and killed outside a North St. Louis pawn shop, Tuesday morning amid violence that swept through the city overnight. Shooting happened at 2:38 a.m. Lee's Pawn and Jewelry Shop on the 4100 block of Dr. Martin Luther King Drive. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department said officers arrived to find 77-year-old David Dorn lying on the sidewalk with a gunshot wound to his torso. The pawn shop has been looted, police said. He was pronounced dead at the scene. And he was a retired St. Louis City captain. And the video of this is horrific. I mean, I can't even play it on the air. It's so bad. But it's basically a young man going, you did this over a television? Come on. This is somebody's grandpa. This is somebody's grandpa. And the man's lying there dying in the street. Nobody's coming to his aid. It's the other thing, too, is all these people with cameras and phones, like, you put down your damn camera and go help the guy. Go be with him. Hold his hand. His last final moments on Earth. I mean, I'm glad people are documenting this stuff, but I feel like also there's a human being there dying in the streets. Like, can you go over and just, I don't know, give the man some comfort in his final moments? How terrifying that must be, right? But nobody's even coming to the man's aid. He's literally dying on the street. And this young man's yelling at people, and I'm glad he is, you know, yelling, I can't believe you did all that. He's cursing at them. Somebody's grandpa, somebody's grandpa. St. Louis Police Chief John Hayden remembered Dorn in a Tuesday news conference as he and other leaders discussed the chaos that took place downtown after a day of peaceful protests gave way to violence and looting. David Dorn was exercising law enforcement training that he learned here, so in his honor, we are wearing our mourning badge. He was a fine captain. Many of us younger officers looked up to him, so very well liked and very pleasant. And his wife still works here. It's a very sad time for our department. We will honor him. He graduated from the police academy in May of 1970. He was assigned to the patrol support division, where he retired from the Metro Police Department in October of 2007. He has done so much in training younger officers to be better than they are. He was served the city for 38 years. Imagine that now. You serve the city for 38 years. You survive. You retire, which is something that every cop just wants to do, is like, come home, you know, come home. And then ultimately when they retire, they go, I got out alive. Like, I made it out alive. Let's not forget that being a police officer is a very, very scary job. And when you're a family member of a cop, you never know if you're going to see your dad again or your mom. You just know, you don't know. You always prepare for the fact that that may be the last time you ever see them when they leave the house for their shift. And that's scary. And there's also moments where you haven't heard from them in a couple of days, and you go, what the hell's going on? And that's also terrifying. In our house, we used to have a rule that was no news is good news. So no news is good news. That was the Zioli household rule when my dad was on the job. No news is good news. So he survives that. He makes it 38 years out, and then he gets gunned down in this chaos and looting. It's just, I mean, my heart breaks. Like, I can't even tell you the grief I feel in my eyes right now. Like, I'm holding back tears as I'm saying all this. This is just so sad. And this is a man who was one of the good guys, right? He was one of the good guys who was trying to make things better. And the model kind of cop you'd want. And they kill him over stolen TVs. Yeah, this is why when people like myself come out and say that we have to stop this violence, this looting, this pillaging, this destruction, this has to stop. And if it involves bringing in the troops to stop it, make it stop, and then make it stop. Because this is not okay. It's not okay for this man's family to have to say goodbye to him like this. This is not okay. You have another black man in this country dead because of this violence and looting. That's Captain Dorn, and I send my best to his family, and God bless him and watch over them. And this is just a very sad, sad moment. And this has to stop. And whatever it takes, make it stop. Because he didn't deserve this. And that's not protesting. What happened to him is not protesting. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is the number for you. The big story of the day today, which we're following, of course, in all of this, is some of the reactions in Philadelphia to, for example, the Rizzo statue being taken down. What's going on locally in our city? What is going on throughout our area?
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you, Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right. right, 855-839-1210 is our number, 855-839-1210. I mentioned earlier, too, by the way, that I was very disappointed when I read this poll today that there's a Axios-Ipsos poll. 77% of whites say they trust the local police, which compared with just 36% of African Americans. And I've said to you that I think a big part of that is media narrative. You know who else agrees with that, by the way? I would argue that probably Killer Mike might agree with that. Remember what he said about CNN? He said that karma's a bee. Bill, do you have that clip of the rapper Killer Mike that we played yesterday on the show?
Yes,
you still have access to that?
Yep, give me one moment.
Take your time. And then I think it's like that. It's like, you know, we're always talking about the fear in the community. What I've done on this show over the years, what we've done on this program is we've tried to highlight police officers who are making a difference. Like one of those people, for example, Roz Talley. Right? Rosalind Talley. She is so well known in the city. She's terrific. And she ran the community relations part of the police department for a long time. She's at the academy now, and she's a police academy as an instructor, which is great because she's training people. She's a very, very bright woman, black police officer, super, super caring, like is out there doing all the stuff for kids all the time, always trying to build up the community, teaching children not to be afraid of the police, that the police are their friend, to go out there, bridge that gap, bridge that divide. See what I mean? Like there are officers like that out there, like Roz, who are doing that stuff every day. Why are their stories not being told in the national media? Like, why does the media not bring her in and say, tell us what you're doing to make things better in terms of improving this relation? Because that 36% number is horrible, right? 36% of African Americans should not fear the police. But why do they fear the police? And how much of that also comes from their own family environments? Like, Roz and I have spoken, and I mentioned this. You know, when there's a mom with a kid in the store and they go, you see now, they see that police officer? If you're bad, I'm going to get that police officer. She'll go over to him and say, ma'am, please do not do that. We cannot have these kids afraid of us. We need them to come to us. We need them to believe that we're there for them. We're there. We're their friends. You have to build that bridge together. And we've brought those cops on this show how many times over the years, right, Dawn? How many times have we brought cops like that in studio on this program?
Yes, many times. Honoring the badge, yes.
But I don't see them on national television, do you?
No. The only nice thing we see is we do see these officers taking the knee and hugging people, but they're not wearing masks, I'll point out. But we see a lot of hugs. But I guess they're not safe hugging, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But I do like the images of taking the knee, the hugs. So there's some love there.
Now, the question is, of course, is everybody going to get the coronavirus after this?
I don't think so.
Well, then we can all say it's over then, right? Finally?
That's the thing. The thing that I'm so confused, because we're showing a lot of protests and taking the knee and people hugging and people jam-packed into streets across the country, and nobody's talking about, I thought we were all supposed to be safe and stay home. But nobody's...
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Have you seen these images coming out of these cities?
Yes.
So, many of these people were asked about this, like Murphy, for example. Remember, Phil Murphy would have you locked up if you tried to go to the gym or get your hair cut or go to the beach or go to church.
Right.
Right. Let's not forget that. Like if you wanted to go to church, he told you, no, you can't do that. You have to stay home. We're not allowing houses of worship to open
until June 22nd. All that, according to the Murph, can open
according to
June 22nd.
So then why are you allowed to go out and protest then? Why are you allowed to do that, which is a First Amendment right, protest, but you can't go to church, which is also a First Amendment right? Right?
That's true.
Right?
Well, he calls the shots.
Well, this is the governor yesterday. This is Phil Murphy lecturing New Jersey about why his executive stay-at-home order versus the going out and protest. I want to thank a friend of the show who's an attorney who's asked his name not be mentioned, who sent me a nice email on this explaining why this absolutely violates every essence of the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, in addition to violating the First Amendment. Cut two.
Can you address the fact that the protests that we saw over the weekend were unfolding at the same time that your executive order was in place, ordering people to stay home? Should people at home, should they be going to these protests? I mean, you spoke about how important they were. I wonder what your advice would be to people.
Yeah, I would say on your first couple of points, Mike, it's one thing to protest. I don't want to make light of this, and I'll probably get lit up by everybody who owns a nail salon in the state, but it's one thing to protest what day nail salons are opening, and it's another to come out in peaceful protest overwhelmingly about somebody who was murdered right before our eyes.
Stop it right there. Stop it right now. Now, understand this point the governor's making, right? I'll decide what you get to protest. I'll decide. I will decide what your protest right under the First Amendment of the Constitution is. I decide. And I don't think that's a worthy protest. Therefore, you're not allowed to come out and protest. Because I have deemed, the king, King Murphy the First, King Murphy the Tyrannical, the king of all the jackasses and knuckleheads in the land, I have decided that is not a worthy protest. Therefore, you are not allowed to go exercise your right of peaceful assembly under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, because I have not deemed it such worthiness. But I have deemed this worthy. So peasants, you may gather in the square, peasants, and you may protest this. But peasants, if you protest me or my orders, that is unacceptable, peasants, and you will be removed and remanded to your homes, and many of you will be beheaded. Who the hell does this guy think he is that he gets to decide what's a lawful protest and what's not? What's okay to protest and what's not? Where in the Constitution does it say, here's your right to peaceful assembly, as long as your jerk dictator wannabe king governor says it's okay? All right. I gotta calm down because I'm gonna have a freaking heart attack here. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Is Mayor Kenney on the Today Show, Dawn?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they preempted, but he's speaking. He's been talking this morning, saying the statue of Rizzo was a deplorable symbol of racism and bigotry, et cetera. Yeah. So his mask is like on his chin. It's an Eagles mask. And so it's
he's such a pandering hack. He's wearing an Eagles mask.
Yeah, but it's I want that mask. But anyway, it's not covering his mouth and nose. It's like under the chin, like sort of like an Amish beard sort of under there. So, and right. Then he just coughed.
If we get a screenshot of that, we can tweet out.
Then he just coughed into his hand.
Oh, nice.
Not the vampire.
Didn't touch everything around him.
But in any event, he's saying that this is Mayor Kenney calls the Rizzo statue a deplorable symbol of hatred and bigotry. And it's finally gone. The statue is finally gone. So he's holding a live news conference outside.
So wait, he's doing, so I'm sorry, so the Today Show cut it, I get it, he wasn't on the Today Show.
I don't think I actually think it's that all the local stations have preempted their national to take Mayor Kenney.
Okay. See, the problem is that...
That's what it looks like.
So the TV in the house is in the same room as the kids' playroom. And I can't have it on right now because it's all the craziness that they're showing on TV, and I just don't want them seeing that, you know?
Right, exactly.
I mean, they're only 5 and 3, so I had to turn the TV off when they came downstairs to go to their playroom. So, you know, I only have 5 or 6 flat-screen TVs throughout the throughout the estate here, so...
But you don't get one.
I do not. No, the kids have commandeered that. Those germy little beautiful little miracles. The children. Peasants! Peasants, come here, peasants. You may protest this. New Jersey, peasants, you may protest this. You may not protest that, New Jersey. What a jerk. Honestly, this guy, he's got so power hungry, drunk with power, this guy. New Jersey, I decide what you protest, New Jersey. I decide, not you, not you. And don't you protest me. Don't you dare protest me, New Jersey. The king. The king! How dare you protest me?
Rich, this is a good time for...
Remember, we are New Jersey. So to all the jackasses out there and all the knuckleheads out there, get with the program. We will not relent until we have 100% compliance.
I have no regrets.
Ha ha! Thank you, Your Highness. Thank you, Bill. You know, Bill, we got to add that too. Remember that time we told Tucker Carlson... that's above my pay grade when Tucker asked him about the Bill of Rights.
Yes, the most basic constitutional thing you should know that you learn in civics class in like 8th grade. Yeah.
Right. Like your job as governor is just to make sure that constitution's protected above his pay grade. We got to add that to the king's little tirade there. Can you continue with his little lecture about protests, by the way?
Of course.
About somebody who was murdered right before our eyes. And is yet, if that weren't enough, yet another data point of the trail of data points that highlights systemic racism and the stain that slavery still leaves in our country today. So I put those into different orbits. I will say this, there were a lot of masks being worn, which is encouraging.
I will say this, you're an idiot. Number two, I will say this, you don't get to put it in different buckets and baskets or whatever you use and decide, orbits. You don't get to decide, Governor. If people want to protest that their businesses are shut down, that is also protected by the First Amendment. If people want to protest this absolute horrific death of a man at the hands of police, that's also their First Amendment right. You don't get to decide, Your Highness. That's not how it works. There's no little asterisk that says, as long as the king says it's okay, you absolute pompous. Pompous. This guy, he's out of control, this guy. And then they have this story about these whistleblowers who've come forward in Jersey to say he's not even consulting with his health commissioners. He's just making this up as he goes along. He's just making up the rules as he goes along. The guy's completely unhinged. Hat tip to my friends at Save Jersey for pointing that out to me. It was from News 12 in New Jersey that said three whistleblowers have come out to say Murphy does not consult with his health officials. They sent a letter to state lawmakers. Whistleblowers who identify themselves as members of the state's pandemic response team said they had no idea what specific data points the governor uses to make those decisions because he rarely consults with them. They say this leads them to conclude that the Murphy administration is making up things as they proceed or making decisions and justifying them on the back end. Dawn, I believe we are supposed to believe all whistleblowers are to be believed.
That's right. It's just
my
crazy
fourth cup
time.
Of coffee today.
I'm so confused. I really am, because the very people who've been saying stay home, stay safe, even if it's costing you everything you've ever worked for, and then all of a sudden nobody's talking about that, and we have people out flooding the streets, hundreds of people, even thousands of people in some cities, and nobody's talking about the fact that they're not wearing masks or that they're like, you know, a foot from each other or 6 inches from each other.
See, Dawn, let me explain this to you. I'm going to speak slowly just so everybody understands, okay? As long as it's a protest that they approve of, you can't get the coronavirus.
Oh.
That's the difference, Dawn.
Gotcha.
If it's not a protest they approve of, like if you're protesting them and their idiotic decisions to destroy the economy, you can get the coronavirus. Do you understand now?
Yes.
But if you're protesting something that they agree with, you can't get the coronavirus. It's an immunity shield. Dawn, it's an immunity force shield.
The immunity shield.
He has that power, Dawn, by his very stroke of a pen. New Jersey, I will shield you from this virus while you protest, New Jersey. How about the fact that you like that, Dawn, when he goes, and I want to say I saw lots of masks out there. What a jerk, right?
Yeah. I'm not seeing a lot of masks. I'm just saying. And even in the images on national and local news across the country, and they say, isn't it wonderful? And we see police taking the knee and hugging people. They're not wearing masks. And they're hugging strangers.
And in New Jersey, if I take my kids with me to the store, they're supposed to wear a mask, which is ridiculous. But if they go to a protest, they don't have to wear a mask.
Right. You can't go to the gym. Can't go to church. Can't get your hair done. But you can go in the street, no mask.
I've met wonderful people over the years, as you know, on these various trips that I've done, you know, with listeners and friends of the show. So my friend Rachel, and she was on a couple of our trips, and her husband, Andrew, wonderful people. So she sent us a bunch of face masks, and she made one for each of us on the show, which I've commandeered, by the way. I have them for you guys. It's just I don't ever see you anymore. So I know Greg's not going to touch it, because the process for Greg Stocker to have something come into his home, Dawn.
Yes.
It's a 17-point multi-layer sanitization process that involves 3 to 6 months.
Does he have we have to get Greg the wand. You know,
the
like,
magic UV light wand?
Yes, which I have. It makes a noise like that. And it's kind of a purple-blue light.
Kills everything. So Bridget emailed Rachel last night and said, can you make some cool masks for our kids to have, that we could have, you know, some really cool masks and they could wear them and that sort of thing. And, because I can't get these kids to wear them. I don't blame them. And I wouldn't make an issue of it. It's just the fact that if you go to a store, they'll go, you can't come in here. You have to leave, you know?
Right. Well, oh yeah. Because at three, what is it? Age three.
Yeah.
Age three.
And under. Yeah, and the only one right now who's wearing a mask is Reagan, because she's the only one who likes it. No, they don't. Thank God infants don't have to wear one. Thank God for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Peasants, oh peasants, you may take your masks off to protest this, peasants. I will shield you from the virus, peasants.
Oh. What about a All bubble? Right. Like a what? Bubble or like a bubble or a bubble umbrella that little kids, like a clear umbrella.
It's so dumb that they have to wear masks. It's so dumb. And what I'm going to do is I'll send my kids to a protest today. That's where they don't have to wear masks. That's nope. what I'll do. Ah, peasants. Come here, peasants. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Oh, no, my daughter's walking over to me. No, Claret, I didn't mean you, honey. I'm just Aww. Doing a little bit on the radio. Hi, sweetie. Just doing, you're not a peasant. You're daddy's little girl. That's right. All right, 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, Dawn, how are we looking on this fine morning? Dawn.
Hey, we're looking good. We do have some
storms. Peasant, you may now deliver the news, peasant.
Thank
Take
you.
Off your mask and give us the news. Make sure it's news I approve of.
Oh, yes. Your Majesty Zeoli. We have 16.
The king has demanded favorable news only.
We have 69 degrees this Wednesday, June the 3rd. And Zeoli Show News Live is sponsored by DuckDuckGo. So we want to update the controversial sudden move to hoist away the big bronze statue of the late Frank Rizzo. So news stations were tipped off, got the video of the event. It started about 4:15 this morning. And now this morning, Mayor Kenney speaking out, saying the statue is a deplorable monument to racism as well as to LGBTQ people. So he says the statue represented bigotry, hated oppression for too many people for too long. It's finally gone.
Blah, 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 blah. Blow it out your you-know-what. I'm so tired of these people, these hacks. What a hack.
So Eddie had called. Many of you are wondering, where's it going to go? The Department of Public Property says it'll be stored in secure storage until a plan is developed to donate, relocate, or otherwise dispose of it.
Dispose of it? Yeah. You know how many people would love to have the Rizzo statue in their yard?
Right. They could auction it off, maybe.
They're going to put it in the same warehouse where the Ark of the Covenant is that they found at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
The same statue, same warehouse.
Yes.
That's unbelievable to me. They could, first of all, the undisclosed location,
yes.
So we're not going to know where.
Yeah, so I wish somebody in the
Isn't it public property? Don't we have a right to know where it is?
I would think, but they're not saying where it is.
It's public property, right?
It's in an undisclosed location.
Toppling statues now, like it's Baghdad.
Yes.
All right.
Exactly. Well, you know, it looks like he's waving, so they said it looked like he was waving goodbye in the back of the flatbed truck. Earlier, the mayor and I know the new police commissioner Daniel Outlaw defending their use of, yes, tear gas. I want to clarify because some people were saying, no, it can't be tear gas. Yes, they say it was tear gas, actual real tear gas, rubber bullets in dispersing hundreds of protesters who blocked the major highway at rush hour. They called it necessary to defuse a dangerous, volatile situation. And yes, traffic finally started slowly moving on the Vine Street Expressway about 6:20 p.m. So it lasted over an hour on the Vine. So they're still defending that decision. And yes, it was real tear gas. Okay, finally, I'm just trying to find something a little interesting that Zeoli could laugh at. Ben Affleck spotted protesting in Los Angeles. So Ben Affleck, I'll just say that.
Ben Affleck, like, with his white privilege down yes. protesting in Hollywood.
Yes. Nice. Wearing sunglasses, and he did wear a mask.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Hmm. Apparently so.
That's good. Well, Ben Affleck will bring the great racial unity that this yes. country needs. The healing that we need right now.
Healing.
Ben Affleck.
It's a symbol of
Because America is united that he ruined Batman and so many other movies that at least we can take solace in that.
We can all agree on that. This news brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. Helping millions of people like you take control of your personal info online. One download free, search and browse privately. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. I want to get to the NBC 10 first alert forecast because we do have some possibly nasty weather moving in. So 90 degrees really for the rest of the week, even through Saturday, it's about 90 degrees, steamy. But then today and tomorrow especially, thunderstorms and showers and possibly severe. I mean, we're talking about drenching rain this afternoon after 2 o'clock. And possibly 60 mile an hour winds. And that could be today and tomorrow afternoon. So we're going to see some severe weather possibly moving through our region. It looks like about a 60% chance that's going to happen. Enlightened Solutions Drug and Alcohol Detox and Treatment Center, their compassionate experts are here to explore proven treatment options with you or your family. Thousands have trusted their process, and now it's time for you to do the same. Visit ES215.com, ES215.com. I'm Dawn Zioli, Show News, Radio.com.
Thank you, Dawn. 855-839-1210 is our number. I will try to slow it down a little bit because Chris says I'm talking like the Federal Express guy. Like I've had a lot of espresso.
Yes.
I'm just very fired up today. What can
you
I do?
You are fired. There's a lot going on.
Exactly. Let's see. Let's go to Roberta is in Plymouth meeting. Roberta, good morning. How are you?
I am very upset this morning, but I hope that my condolences to you and all the people that are losing innocence and the police and so forth. Anyway, I'm calling about Rizzo. Rizzo was the one who said there is no museum honoring African Americans. He was the one responsible for building the African American Museum. He was responsible for raising the funds. Because this was something that Rizzo did, shouldn't they also tear down the African American Museum? Because it's something that Rizzo, the racist, did.
Yeah, anything associated with him, right? You got to scrub the memory of anything associated with him.
The museum has to go. Tear it down, burn it down. Also, when they were talking about this a few years ago, I went to City Hall and I knocked at every door I could from every politician, and I gave them printed out all the things I'm telling you what he has done to save black lives, to make the museum, to make the city safe. And I don't know how many people paid attention, but it's something that I was very passionate and I still am about. And continue your good work. Good luck to your family. I love hearing about the new baby and the big sister and the big brother. God bless you.
Thank you, Roberta. God bless you. I appreciate the phone call. I'm glad you brought that up about the museum, by the way. I think it's a really important point. Thank you for doing that. It's such a shame that the way people are treated, and they're not here to defend themselves. And, you know, it's when we start taking apart our history, we start trying to cover up our history. It's very dangerous. And I've never approved of doing that. I've always approved of teaching people the truth of our history, giving them both sides of our history, giving them the absolute honesty and all of that. But I think that when we start trying to cover up our history and do things like that, it only causes more division, it only causes more anger and more hurt and that sort of thing. So I'm glad you brought that point up about the museum. Thank you for doing that. 855-839-1210. Let's see. Andrew is in Collingswood. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Andrew with Rachel, we were on our trip with you.
I just talked about you guys like 2 minutes ago.
I know. That's why we're calling in. We're so happy you got masks and... We are.
The masks are wonderful that you made for us. Thank you very much for them. They're great.
You're welcome.
I like my Star Wars mask that you made me, Rachel. Thank you.
Awesome. You're very welcome.
Now, why don't you guys make us a Zioli Army mask?
Ooh, I can do that. I got to get fabric.
You can't use the corporate logo, and I can't discuss this on the air with you. So we'll talk about it off the air. Pretend like it's never happened. Bill, dump that. Anyway, both were saying.
Andrew was stopped yesterday at a protest.
Oh, yes, Rich. I just wanted to mention, I had no idea what was happening. I was coming out of Wegmans on Route 70 here in Cherry Hill, and I thought it was a huge accident because all the access roads to 70 were closed off with cop cars. And so I had to go around a different way, and I got back on Haddonfield Road, and all the cars were stopped. It was just a mess. The police cars were all over the place. And then I saw, coming around the bend where I was stopped at a light, there were people carrying Black Lives Matter signs. And they were just looking straight ahead and not deviating too much. And then a couple of guys walked out into the street where the cars were, and a few seconds later, I saw three bottles that were thrown on my windshield. They were plastic water bottles, empty, and right behind that episode was two cops come running up, and they waved me on to continue on, and because the light may have changed, or they opened the intersection. And then I didn't see what happened towards the end, but one of the guys was waving his arm at the my back of my window. And all I did was just sitting there waiting for the traffic light or seeing what happened, if the area would be, you know, cleared out. But that was supposedly a march that was supposed to be
peaceful.
Peaceful.
Right.
But if anything deviates from that, there's always, it seems like there's a couple of rowdy people just ready to take action. In fact, another guy came out and started walking out between the cars, and I think that's where the cops started to run after him. It was behind me. I couldn't see what was going on. But that was an experience you don't forget.
I'm glad you both are safe. It's great hearing from you both. You're wonderful people, and thank you again for the masks. And I also think I might need a Captain America mask for myself, Rachel.
Okay.
All right.
We will do that. We love your show. We love you guys, and congrats on Baby Reagan. We've really loved hearing about it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, my friends. I appreciate it. Love you guys, too. Have a great rest of your day, and thanks for calling the show. 855-839-1210. I just want to quickly go to Jack in Cherry Hill. Jack, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Real quick on the Cherry Hill takeover of the Riccioli show this morning. I just wanted to share also that one of the things Dawn said in her last news report is that Mayor Kenney said that one of the reasons he removed the Frank Rizzo statue is because it is an insult to LGBTQ people, otherwise gay, bisexual. I am gay. I love guys. I'm what's called a bear. I'm a big gay guy, and I go out with what are called twinks. So I'm very gay, and I love Frank Rizzo. He is a great man, and he's one of the reasons that it's good to be gay in America, because he kept law and order, and that is why you can be gay safely in America, because this is a land of law and order, and Frank Rizzo was a part of that. And the stuff he did, quote-unquote, against gay people was not just some gay guy sitting home. It was like red light areas, areas where things were not going right. And I would hope that gay people don't like that today. So he's a good man, Frank Rizzo. And I'm gay, and I love Frank Rizzo. And Mayor Kenney is using gay people and minorities in a very cheesy way to advance his identity. He doesn't speak for me, and he does not speak for all gay people.
Jack, I'm so grateful you called, my friend. Thank you for those points. I think
what you
said was excellent about how you're able to be an openly gay man in America because of law and order, and your liberty is protected, and I'm grateful you made that point. It's an excellent point.
Thank you. For Trump, too. Vote for Trump. I believe that. That's my opinion, and have a great day. Peace.
All right. You got it, my friend. All right. 855-839-1210.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.